Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. I'm your host, Kevin Turley, and it's great to have your company this Wednesday, especially at this time, because we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. That's right, we come together as a little praying community here on the radio, and we pray for you. If you're listening to this broadcast, we're praying for you. Obviously, you can phone in on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111 your prayer request today, and I'd only be too happy to take those requests and pray for them. Each day in this little apostolate, this little radio apostolate, I'm a accompanied by prayer warriors, men and women who give up their time to come in and pray with me and for you. So let's find out today who are our prayer warriors.
In the studio with us, Kevin, we have Mary Trawick as well as Rose Gardner.
Good morning.
The Divine Mercy Sisters are amongst us again.
We have our rosaries.
Mary and Rose, it's great to have you back.
Great to have time to be here.
Thank you.
Love it.
Now, Mary, we've been praying very much for your intentions these last few days. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and we keep praying for them. And no doubt we will be praying more for things as they go along. But listen, it's just so wonderful to have you both here today. And listen, whatever you might think about me, you've got Mary and Rose on the job, you know. And these are 5-carat gold prayer warriors. So 251-928-2111. Get your requests in early. No request too large or too small. These ladies, these Divine Mercy Sisters, they knock a hole in any problem, believe you me. Thanks. Very glad to have them here.
Well,
you both having a good Wednesday?
Jesus is doing a lot of things, so yes. Very good, just a little hot. But
yeah, it's hot. It's hot over there at the moment.
It's sweltering.
Yeah, well, we could pray for cold weather.
No.
We can pray for that. No problem.
Get me. That's right.
You can have some of our miserable wet weather, which we seem to have in abundance over this side. I don't know if you caught any of Sister Mary Ann just before the break there.
Yes, I did.
She was amazing, wasn't she?
Yeah, she sounds so sweet.
Yeah.
It was very touching to hear somebody with, you know, just humble and sweet and positive. Just loved it.
And yet she's so learned, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she should come to Mobile and do a Eucharistic retreat with you all, you know?
For
I mean, she'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely
we'd
wonderful.
Love to have her.
She was great, and we're going to pray for her intentions, which were very beautifully set out by her, and we'll pray for all our guests. So you've brought your beads, ladies. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay, let's do so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mary and Rose. We are up and running, so who wants to go first?
I will. This is Rose.
Thank you, Rose.
Mm-hmm. I would like to pray today specifically for widows and widowers. God's been calling mm-hmm. that upon my heart. And orphans, homeless, that God will put the people that they need in their lives. And if we are those people, that we recognize that's what we're to do, and we'll assist in any way that God wills.
That's a beautiful prayer, Rose. As always, you have a big heart for big, big situations. So we definitely pray for all those widows, widowers, orphans, and the homeless. Anybody in particular you have on your heart at the moment, Rose? Anybody who's recently been bereaved?
No.
I do. This is Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
When Tanya passed away, she left her daughter that's 24 to take care of the 10-year-old, which is a big challenge for someone so young.
And, that's right.
She's doing a great job. Of course, she's only 24, and I just see such a big heart in her taking care of her sister and struggling to be so young and do so much. So
that's incredible.
I love that prayer. Thank you, Faye.
You're welcome. Also, Rose. My husband and I recently came back from Nashville. We went there for our 44th anniversary. Praise God for that.
Beautiful.
But while I was there, we encountered so many homeless. And it was, you know, it's very hard to see. Because, you know, they had life somewhere that were better. And so anyway, I just want to pray for those.
Absolutely. Well, we pray for all those, especially in Nashville, who are homeless. Homelessness is a problem across the world. Every major city seems to have it at the moment. Mm-hmm. Complex reasons for why people end up on the streets, but regardless, they're all God's children, and we pray that they'll all be taken care of. Of course, Scripture reminds us, Rose, that the Lord has a particular place in his heart for widows and widowers, for orphans, and for those that don't have anywhere to go. So we definitely lift all of those up. But also, as you know, we've been praying for Tanya and praying for the repose of her soul. This 24-year-old daughter, though, and she sounds like a very, very impressive young woman. May I have her Christian name so that we can pray for her properly?
Yes, her name is Mia.
Mia. Mm-hmm. Well, we pray for Mia. And the 10-year-old, her name?
Sila.
Sila. Well, we pray for Mia and Sila. This is going to be a very interesting time for them. We pray that the Lord will look after them at this time. Hopefully Tanya is with the Lord, and she's also interceding for her children. But this is a very sad situation. But we pray for Mia and Sila. And Mia, if you ever hear this, and if you ever want to call in, we'd be delighted to talk to you and just in any way help you at this time, this moment of transition from a carefree life to suddenly being a sort of a parent by default. So we'd love to help you with that. Love to adopt you in a sense. And if nothing else, just pray for you. Pray for you and Sila that everything goes well.
Well, I'm grateful to God that they have my sister Mary during that time.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. This is what being a Christian is all about. It really is. And we won't know the joy and the happiness and what we gave to other people until we reach the other side, please God. We lift all of this up now, and all of these people in these situations. And anybody who we've prayed for in the last few weeks, we prayed for a few who have lost loved ones. We're praying for any of those that are grieving at this time.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Rose, and thank you, Mary. Okay, for this second decade, I turn to you, Mary. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Today on my heart, I'm thinking of the elderly and the changes that they're going through in their body and mind and their family, how it affects them. But I just I just want to pray for those that are elderly and that they have the joy and the knowledge of God, that they feel his mercy and love.
Yes. I think that's really important, don't you, Mary, that they feel loved, you know? So many elderly people feel loneliness in a way that the rest of us don't. Would you agree?
I agree, yes.
You know, they can feel very isolated and as if their lives don't really matter when we know that all lives matter, and in particular those elderly people. We give thanks for all the elderly people that have helped us,
Amen.
Be they grandparents, granduncles, aunts. People that have shown us through their love and devotion and also through their faith often, just the most important things. I don't know about you, but my grandmother on my mother's side, she was a woman of deep prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yeah. I don't know if your grandparents were like that, were they?
Yes.
So we give thanks. You know, the elderly may not be rushing around like the millennials doing this and doing that. That's understandable. It's the time of life they're at. But it's a time of the mystic, really. It's a time when they can really draw close. The hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament can do so much good for their family, for their neighborhood, for their community. It can be a wonderfully productive time.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, let's pray for all the elderly, especially any of the elderly who are heavily involved in their parishes. I don't know about you, in my parish, it's the elderly that keep the thing running. They're cleaning the church, they're sacristans, they're serving at Mass, they're at the adoration, they're welcoming people with the prayer books. I mean, they're doing all the heavy lifting, right?
They are.
Silver saints.
I would love to add a name to that. Also, for Bill and Frances Morris, who they do so much at our little church, and they're always there, no matter what's going on. When it's time for anything to happen, they're in that second from the front pew doing all they do, and so they've had a lot of health issues, so I'm just so grateful for those two.
Thank you for that, Rose. Well, listen, Bill and Franz, if you're listening to this, we're giving thanks for your witness and praying that there'll be many more years of that to come. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's listening, who's maybe listening in an old folks home or whatever, we're praying for you now. We're praying specifically for you, and we give thanks for your life and your witness, which makes us faithful servants too.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mary and Rose. Now, we're just going to deal with some of the texts that have come in. Richard Sweet, good morning to you, sir. Richard was texting yesterday, but we had a bit of a problem reading it. Today, Richard, we have no problem reading your texts, and very good to have you texting straight into the show. That's wonderful. Richard is asking all of us, all the prayer warriors here at Archangel Radio, to pray for Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Absolutely.
Out in Tyler, Texas. And we're delighted to do so, Richard. And as you probably know, Bishop Joseph has been on this show. We had a wonderful conversation with him a few weeks ago, and we'd be delighted to pray for him. And you may have heard Richard, Sister Mary Ann, just before the break, and how much the protection of the blessed blood, the sacred, the precious blood of our Lord. And we really place Bishop Joseph in that protection now. Each day, no doubt, he says the Holy Mass, and we ask that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior be a protection to him at this time. And we pray for all those that are involved in visiting him from apostolic visits, etc., that they'll be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom to know what the truth of the situation is. And we pray for this holy pastor at this time and for all his flock, and for all those that know him and trust him.
Could I add to that as well?
Of course.
Because it was in my intentions. So I just want to pray for all of our bishops that are holding firm to the true magisterium of the church, and that they can be, you know, strong and protected while they are being attacked. Many of them are, you know, bishop against bishop, etc. So
that's right.
I just pray, you know, that we can have peace, and that that our Lord we'll watch over our shepherds as well as Saint Joseph. So I would love for Saint Joseph to watch over them as well.
Well, you've picked the right day, because today, as you know, is dedicated to St. Joseph. Traditionally, Wednesday is a great day for St. Joseph, but tomorrow we celebrate the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. So no better day to pray for our bishops. Yes. And let's pray for all our wonderful bishops, but also let's also pray for all those bishops that are a little bit in need of prayer more, that need a little bit of bandaging up.
Yes.
So let's pray
them
for them, too,
yes,
because the Holy Spirit can do wonders, and we trust in the miracles of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for any of those bishops that aren't as fervent as maybe they should be, as all of us sometimes are. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit will set all their hearts aflame with the Spirit of truth, and that they may be tireless defenders of that truth in the public square, which is what they're called to do. But also let's remember to pray for them. Let's complain less. We're all guilty of that a little bit, but let's complain less. Let's pray for them, and let's leave it all in the hands of God. He is God, and as St. John Henry Newman said, he knows what he's about.
Yes, indeed.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, ladies. That is us up to the fourth decade. So for these two last decades, I'm going to reverse the orders. And for the fourth decade, it's over to you, Mary. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I have a dear friend that has had trouble with her knee. Her name is Sherry. She's had several surgeries, and she's going back for an MRI today to see if they can, it's just painful. And she has a farm and does a lot of heavy lifting. She has horses and donkeys and a pig and lots of animals. And so she has to pick up hay and that kind of stuff. And it's hard when you have a bum knee like that. So I just want to pray for her today.
Wonderful. Well, let's pray for Sherry. I love that intention. It's so specific, Mary, you know. Yeah. And let's really ask the Holy Spirit to help the doctors now in this surgery on Sherry's knee, that it will be a great success and she will have a knee even better than the one that she had before. You know, our Lord says in the book of the Apocalypse, I come to make all things new. Well, Lord, we're asking only for Sherry's knee to be remade and to be even better than it was before. And we also pray for practical help for Sherry at this time, that people will come and help her with her farm so that she's not put back by this in any way, that the farm continues to thrive and grow because of her neighbors and her friends and her family who are there for her at this time. And Sherry, if you're listening, we give thanks for all your witness, and you've got a good friend in Mary.
She does.
Thank you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Rose. Rose, I will come to you for this fifth and final decade. You're going to have the last word, but there's a couple of people I need to mention. We just had Sister Mary Fatula on, speaking about her wonderful book about the Eucharist and the saints. And we'd like to pray for Sister Mary. Her intention was that she would simply grow closer to Christ. So we pray very much for that intention. We pray that her book does a lot of good in helping people understand the great treasure, which is the Eucharist. Often just sitting there in our tabernacles in each of our Catholic churches, may we become even more excited and intrigued by the great mystery of the Eucharist, which is in our presence. God is with us, as the scripture says, and he continues to be with us, especially so at the Holy Mass. So let's pray for this Eucharistic revival that's taking place across the United States. Let's pray in particular for the Archdiocese of Mobile, that it will be a light, a beacon in the coming months for the rest of the United States in its faith, its charity, and above all, its devotion to the Most Blessed Sacrament. I've also had a request in from a listener who is having all sorts of family difficulties, difficulties with her children, and she's asking for prayers. She feels that some of these difficulties may be because of spiritual attack, and we love to pray for that. We ask that the precious blood of our Lord and Savior surround that family and protect it at this time from anything that is dragging it down or causing dissension of any sort. Okay, Rose, final word to you. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I have a lot.
Good.
So what I'd like to pray for is all the people that are undergoing any kind of transitions in their lives. It's a very difficult time, and it is hard to keep the holy in front of you. You know what I mean?
Because
you're so distracted by all the things that are going on. So for friends of mine, Paul and Patty Sevening, they've moved to Texas from here, and they've been here for many years, so it's a very difficult move, but they need to be near family, so traveling was becoming a problem because of their age. For Father Nicholas particular, and Father Augusti, and Father Savoy, they've changed parishes, and I'm also praying for their staff as they all try to learn how to work together in their new settings. For people that are new parents, and people that are newly married, and people that have new jobs, you know. So I'm praying for all of those intentions today.
I absolutely love that, Rose. I think that's a beautiful intention. I'd never have thought of it. All those people facing these transitions, I love that word, transitions in place, in job, circumstance, getting married, new lifestyles. Wonderful. Let's pray for all of those. If you're somebody who's in that pool of people, then Rose has just brought you into our family, into our prayer family, and we're going to be praying for you now. Pray the Holy Spirit help you to give you the wisdom and the insight to be able to deal with each of these challenges. And remember, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fortitude. And whenever there's a change in life, be it circumstance or location, you do need that gift of fortitude. So let's ask for it. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon all these people, especially Paul and Patty at this time. Let's pray that their new life in Texas will be just as wonderful. And they will discover the mobile app from Archangel Radio and join us each day in prayer and feel a little bit of Mobile still with them out there in the wonderful state of Texas.
I know Patty will definitely be doing that.
Wonderful. Well, if you're ever listening, Patty, phone in. We'd love to hear from you. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Mm. Oh, my Jesus.
I trust in you. I was praying too.
Oh, my Jesus.
I trust in you.
Oh, my Jesus.
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mary, so much.
Mary and Rose, I know you ascended to a mystical state there, but we had to bring you back to finish the prayer.
I'm sorry. I can't believe we both did it.
It's wonderful. You're so deeply into the prayer. It's wonderful. Listen, I appreciate so much our Divine Mercy sisters. I love praying with you. I love having you as part of our Archangel Radio prayer family.
Kevin.
Come back soon and pray with
Kevin.
Me again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day. That's Mary and Rose. You know who they are. Listen, when we come back, we're going to be telling the story of the wonderful military chaplain, U.S. military chaplain, Father Emil Capon. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned to the Cherry Frequency here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to Turning Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It is so good to have your company today. I'm really enjoying this Wednesday morning with you. I hope you enjoyed praying with us there. I find that period of our time together just so inspirational, so wonderful. We're actually trying to help people. That's so wonderful about it. And I found Sister Mary Anne just a breath of fresh air. She really is powered by the Holy Spirit, that woman. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought she was inspirational.
Yes, she was really incredible, Kevin.
She was.
She radiates positivity. I feel like, you know, with I don't really radiate positivity sometimes, so I feel like, you know, we could use that.
Yeah, it was like being plugged into the mains, really, with Sister Marianne, wasn't it?
I think so, too. That's exactly what I meant to say. It's like being wired in.
I wouldn't say you don't radiate positivity. Well, Mike, I think Reed's being a bit hard on himself here.
He does. No, he is being extra hard on himself. But no, I mean, Sister Marianne was the definition, in my opinion, just listening to her, and I wanted to listen to more, was the definition of the joy of the gospel. And I think we should all carry that. She definitely did not fit the stereotype of the nuns, you know, that we've, especially the ones I grew up with. I mean, there were a few, you know, Sister John Dominic loved her to death. You know, she was firm when she had to be, but very loving. You know, there were a few older ones who, you know, fit the stereotypical mold. I'm not going to name any names, but you do come across those, and it's sad that those are the ones that we stereotype the faith with.
That's right.
But no, she was certainly emblematic of the joy of the gospel, and I could listen to her all day, and that's what we need more of.
Amen. Now, just on our topic this morning about solo travel, are either of you gentlemen inclined to ever go on a solo journey to the wilds of Afghanistan, the deserts of Pakistan, or even to the North Pole, just to get away from it all and put it all on YouTube and send it over to your subscribers?
Not a million years, especially not with my kids.
So I can get away from everybody, but then I just display it to them anyway, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. I can't see the point, really. Do you know? I mean, I can see the point of a retreat, going to a monastery for 6 months or doing something like that, or even just a bit of private travel where you just want to collect your thoughts and find out a little bit about yourself. But the whole business of putting it on YouTube seems to my mind, maybe I'm being a bit uncharitable, but it just seems slightly artificial, the whole thing. Or am I getting it wrong?
I think that a lot of times we go on vacation because we don't have to keep up appearances, I guess. Like,
that's right.
We can really fully right. be ourselves and everything without worry of, you know, consequence from the people around us. And when you just video it all and then post it on YouTube, you are under their watch anyway. So, I mean, they're going to know what you're doing. So it's like you're not escaping any of the pressures of normal life.
And you're just creating one picture or several pictures that don't necessarily encapsulate the whole journey. It's just like, oh, here's this one moment in time, but it doesn't really show the rest of the journey. Like, oh, you know, we took this picture of this. Here's me with this beautiful tiger. And then moments later, oh, my head was taken off by the tiger. We pray for Mike. Pray for that person. It was a great picture on Facebook, but then later, you know, got their head ripped off by the tiger.
Yeah, this is the footage from the news camera crew that came shortly afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is it. The most exciting adventure, though, as Sister Marianne has said, is an inward one that's at the disposal of everybody, regardless of your age or your income, and that is to know the Lord, and that is the greatest adventure that anybody can be on. So let's go story time and hear about another hero of our faith, somebody who went on an adventure, which cost him his life, but in the process, he won eternity.
Let's do it.
It was Thanksgiving, so he knew where to find them. The man in question was the mailman, and he went to the local Catholic church. And he handed the telegram to the local parish priest. And even the mailman knew what this telegram was. And after Mass had concluded, the priest read out its contents to those whom he had privately assembled. The telegram read as follows. The Secretary of State of the Army has asked me to express his deep regret that your son, Captain Emil J. Capon, has been missing in action in Korea since November 2nd, 1950. The parents of the man now listed as missing listened in stunned disbelief. Thereafter, it was said, there was only silence in the room. Now, while this news was being delivered to his parents, Father Emil Capon was many miles away with many others on what came to be known as a death march. That's because the priest had been taken prisoner in the aftermath of the Battle of Unsan. On November 1st, 1950, All Saints' Day, Father Emil had celebrated Holy Mass for the soldiers of the battalion he served in. At this point, the Korean War looked to be all but over. The North Korean Communist forces had been routed by America and her allies. The soldiers had even begun to think, tentatively, but think nonetheless, of going home. Then, in the early hours of the following morning, All Souls' Day, something changed. By dawn of that day, the battalion was overrun, decimated, with many killed and many more taken prisoner. The speed and numbers of those attacking that night surprised everyone on the American side. What had been picked up by some of the outlying U.S. radio operators, but far too late to warn the camp, was summed up in one word that had been repeated frantically over and over again through the crackling static. And that one word was Chinese. The Americans had fought bravely. They had no choice. But 3,000 men faced an invasion from China of 20,000 Red Guards. As the other U.S. battalions tried to flee south, Father Emil's men were left to fight a rear guard action against the invading Chinese. Aerial support for the beleaguered battalion followed quickly. But as the United States Air Force jets screeched overhead in ever more desperate bombing raids, they only added to the noise and the confusion as the illuminated night sky revealed beneath it a relentless enemy force intent on breaking through American lines. That night, Father Emil was as active as any of his comrades. He was running from foxhole to foxhole. He dragged the wounded out. He gave the last rites to the dying and was even observed hearing confessions amid the gunfire. He was urged by his brother officers to escape, to save himself. He refused. Subsequently, he was captured. In fact, he was captured well beyond the American lines, trying to drag an injured serviceman back to safety. Somehow, in the ensuing confusion with the Chinese, he managed to escape, but it was only to be a short reprieve. When the battle finally ceased, Father Emil was a prisoner once more. Now, the Chinese entry into the Korean War in 1950 was to prove decisive. It ended any of the advances the Allies had made. Instead of the North Korean Communist Army, they now faced a formidable opponent, not just in weaponry and numbers, but an opponent who was filled with ideological zeal. With the debris of battle strewn all around, Father Emile and the other prisoners of war were marched away. They proved luckier than those that were left behind, who the Chinese started to torture and kill. Kill any of the wounded prisoners of war that remained. The trek that would become known as the Death March was largely made at night and without food. Any prisoner failing to keep up through illness or fatigue was shot. Seeing just such a fellow POW struggling to keep up, Father Emile went to him, picked him up, and started to carry him on his back. As he did so, he urged the able-bodied POWs to do likewise with any other man who was struggling. The man who he had picked up, he told the priest to put him down. He said, "You can't keep this up." Father Emile's reply was, "We'll keep going." A reply which was sounded as shots were once more heard from the rear of the march. After several days and 70 miles, the survivors arrived at a prison camp. They were all starving, and soon after found themselves being starved to death. So what did Father Emile do? Well, immediately he started to organize raids on the camp's food supplies. As he explained to the men, "We either steal or we starve to death." Quickly, in other ways, he rallied his fellow inmates, and in so doing, just as quickly earned the suspicion of the armed guards that watched over the captured American soldiers. What incensed the Red Guards most, however, was that the chaplain assembled his men each night for nightly prayers. Atheist and believer, black man and white man, enlisted and officer, they all came together to join in the rosary. The months trailed on. That Christmas, a number of POWs managed to escape. As a consequence, those prisoners left behind were marched through the freezing snows to a camp even further away. This camp was deemed to be escape-proof. That winter, as the snows fell ceaselessly, temperatures dropped to 40 degrees below zero. But the prisoners continued to be starved. No doubt as a consequence, pneumonia swept through the camp, and so too did despair. By February, as unburied frozen bodies of prisoners were stacked all around the camp, some started to give up. This place had become no longer simply a prison camp. Instead, it had become a death camp. Nevertheless, among the prisoners, there was one, even though his voice was just as weak as the others, who repeatedly told them to stay true to their faith and to stay true to those who were waiting for them back home, those who loved them. He told them God was with them, and not to give up. When Father Emile had finished speaking, bearded, dirty, standing in lice-infested tattered clothing, just like all the rest. He did something many remembered for a long time afterwards. Father Emile raised his now skeletal hand high above all the prisoners. All the prisoners gathered there, and he made the sign of the cross. One prisoner, a Protestant, many years later, still recalled that blessing, identifying it as the moment when he was given strength to carry on. Inevitably, time in the death camp brought matters into sharp relief for all held captive there. One of the prisoners of war asked Father Emile to baptize him. The priest did as he was asked. That man died shortly afterwards. The corpse lay for days. It was a ploy by prisoners not to report such deaths, so that a dead man's rations would come to them. That's how bad things were. But through it all, day by day, Father Emile knew exactly what the real enemy was here. When the enlisted men refused to carry out tasks, he would do them. When POs began to argue with each other, he mediated. When gloominess was in the air, he cracked jokes. But more importantly, he was praying constantly for these men. One of the prisoners was intrigued by the priest. He asked how he had come to be in this living hell. The chaplain replied jauntily, "I've volunteered." He did. He was born in 1916. Father Emile grew up in a farm in Kansas before becoming a military chaplain. In the Second World War, he had served in Asia. Returning to civilian parish life after the war, he found that, quotes, it didn't quite work for him. When another war was declared in Korea, with the permission of his bishop, he left his homeland to serve once more, feeling that there should be a priest with those who face death on a foreign battlefield. Now, one of the features of the camp was Marxist indoctrination. Now, what this meant was that all the POWs were forced to undergo a kind of Marxist re-education. And that included Father Emile. After listening to a rather dreary and droning lecture on the benefits of Marx and his philosophy, the teacher turned to Father Emile and was asked how Marx had influenced him. Father Emile was having none of this. And he replied that the influence of Marx upon him was as much as any comedian. Now, I better explain for the younger listeners that Karl Marx is a communist philosopher, and Groucho Marx was an American comedian who was very famous at the time. The Red Guards, they got the joke, and they were infuriated by it, especially when they heard the laughter of the other prisoners, the all-important laughter. They became so enraged that when, in the middle of this constant droning from their teacher, this holy priest would turn to his fellow prisoners and say, "Don't believe a word of this." He used another word, which often priests don't use. I'm sure you can use your imagination to just imagine what that word was. His good humor, his wit, and above all his faith were proving a lifeline for the prisoners around him. So much so that the guards began to hate Father Emile, and he knew it. Nevertheless, he still preached openly to the men about forgiving one's enemies. The guards had had enough at this point, and they banned all public prayers. Nevertheless, in private, Father Emile continued to lead his fellow prisoners in prayer. When caught so doing, it meant that he was taken to what was known as the punishment hole. Before he was placed there, he was stripped naked and made to stand for many hours on a block of ice. His captors would taunt Father Emile, shouting, "Where is your God now?" Father Emile's reply, "Right here." Needless to say, his fellow prisoners grew to love their chaplain. On Easter Sunday, 1951, as the sun rose over the melting snows of the infernal death camp, a curious spectacle was observed within it. There stood a man wearing a purple stole, that of a priest, holding a Roman missal. Somehow, Father Emile had asked for and received permission for an Easter service. That morning, the incredulous prisoners started to gather around him. He told them he did not have the means to say Mass, but to the surprise of those assembled, he opened the missal and began to recite the words of the Good Friday service. Next, he read out the meditation on the Stations of the Cross. And as he did so, those stood listening to him started to weep. When he had finished reading, he held aloft a rosary and invited those present to join him in its saying, which they did. At its conclusion, and as the guards looked on suspiciously, defiantly, one of the prisoners of war started to sing the Lord's Prayer. And as he did so, the whole body of men joined in. Many years later, a Jewish prisoner of war could still recall how much that morning meant to all those caged behind barbed wire. Men who were starved, shivering and sick, with the ever-present guns trained upon them. Eventually, like so many others in the camp, Father Emile's health broke. The starvation and deprivations at last took their toll. There was a place where the sick were taken. The communists claimed it was a hospital, but instead it was known as feared as the death house. You see, prisoners knew that they would be ill-treated there and left to die. When the guards came to remove the ill chaplain to the hospital, his fellow prisoners of war had to be held back at gunpoint as they tried to prevent the guards taking Father Emile away. As he was taking away, one of the prisoners heard him say, "I'm going to where I always wanted to go." As the priest was stretchered away, in his hand, held more tightly than ever, was his purple stole. Without food and water, he lasted 2 days. The final words of Father Emile before he entered the death house and heard by the prisoners of war who carried him there were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not." Just before he'd been led away, the priest had given his missal to another prisoner of war and urged him to continue to hold prayer services. On the 23rd of May, the day that he died, as news of his death spread throughout the camp, in defiance of their jailers, that night, the 23rd Psalm was read aloud in one hut, and in another, the rosary was recited. To this day, he lies in an unmarked grave in Korea. But just as in life, Father Emile could not be confined in death, as his reputation for sanctity grows with each passing year. What the communist death house had tried to extinguish in killing one man and all he represented, paradoxically only seemed to have the opposite effect. His witness sustained many through the war, and subsequently, as his story was told, many more besides. The snows fall each winter through the dark valleys and across the frozen mountain ranges of a land that still to this day does not know freedom. And it falls too upon a makeshift communal grave, falling softly, where when the final trumpet blast comes, when at last in the bright light of a new morning, a train of emaciated men shall come forth into the freedom of the children of God, with at their head Father Emile J. Capon. Servant of God, Father Emile Capon, pray for us.
That's an incredible story, Kevin. It really calls to mind Father Maximilian Kolbe for his sacrifice in a similar situation.
And sure does.
We actually have a Maximilian Kolbe token here in the studio with us.
Well, we ask his prayers. He's also the patron of Catholic
relic,
Radio.
I'm sorry. Yes, he's the patron of Catholic Radio. But what do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we've got a doubleheader. We've got Father Basil Nortis, who's coming to speak to us about silence, so that should be fun. And we've got Rob Herbst joining us to tell us what's happening across the Archdiocese of Mobile.
Excellent. Listen,
I hope you enjoyed listening to us today. If you did, let's do it all again. Same time, same frequency, same me tomorrow. In the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you, and may he bless all of you. And until tomorrow, may God bless each and every one of us.